Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 12, 2026, and we're reading from the Big Book, There is a Solution, page 19. It's a two-paragraph day, and we're starting with the first paragraph on page 19. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work. Reading that paragraph and the next, ending with, how then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Vanessa G., a vision for you, and Shelley E. is our backup. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, February 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,202. And for Thursday, February 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,204. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Michelle W.C. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us, the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters. Message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yes.
Thank you, Michelle. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L., and I am in Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, and today is a two-paragraph day. We're going to start at the top of page 19, that first paragraph, none of us make a sole vocation of this work, reading that paragraph, then the next, and ending with, how then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? I will now ask Cara L. to please start reading and share with us. Good morning, Cara. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. None of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that the illumination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe. If you are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give all their time to the work. If we kept on the way we are going, there is little doubt that much good would result. But the surface of the problem would hardly be scratched. Those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. Many could recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed. How then shall we present that which has been so freely given to us? Good morning. My name is Cara L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Long Beach, California. And there's so much in these two paragraphs I like to touch on. I love the idea that, you know, the elimination of my compulsive eating is just the beginning. You know, it's just the starting point I get to jump off from, where my head is cleared, and my connection is made to a power greater than myself? And then what am I going to do with that connection? What am I going to do with the freedom that's been given to me? You know, how do I keep that? Well, I keep it by doing this work, right? And it doesn't say that my whole life is turned over to this work, but it does say that the reflection of the work that I'm doing in this program with others and with, you know, it's going to be reflected in my whole life, right? It's going to come out in my home. It's going to come out in my job. It's going to come out in, you know, homes, occupations, and all of our affairs. So, you know, I think just as I was looking and reading at this today, I was like, this is really interesting for me in that it doesn't say it's my vocation. It's not something I trained for and did. And it will become my life. And it has today. It has become my life today. You know, turning everything over to a power greater than myself and saying, God, I put this for you, before you today. I put my day. I give you my day. And everything in this day to show me how I can be of service. Put in front of me what you need me to do today. Right? And I stop throughout the day and say, I invite you in because I need help because I don't know. You know, all I know is that I've been given this tremendous gift. I want to keep it. And I'd really love all those other sufferers I see around me. How can I be of service to them? How can I be kind and gentle and loving and understanding? How can I be approachable? You know, how can I do all those things? Those things are going through my head every single day and every single interaction, right? It's like, I don't know how to do this well. God, please help me. Show me what to do today. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cara, for getting us started. All right, so you may have come in halfway, may not have been listening. Doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm going to remind you where we are. Page 19, two paragraphs today. None of us make a sole vocation of this work. We read that paragraph and the following, and we ended with, how then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? So those are the two paragraphs that we're focusing our shares on today. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if this is your third day on either vision meeting, what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Who would like to share?
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Thank
Donna,
you, Wendy.
Mary J. New York.
Donna. I got Donna in Colorado. And who was that from New York?
Karen K.
Karen, good morning. Thank you.
Veronica B.
Michelle. Got you, Veronica, and I think that was Michelle. Which Michelle is that?
Michelle W.C.
Thank you. And I think there was a third voice.
Kerry W., California.
Kerry, I got you, and there's a gentleman trying to get in.
It's Oscar R.
Thank you, Oscar. And where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Thank you. Okay, do we have anyone?
Alan Jerry.
Alan, good morning. Got you. Thank you. Was somebody else trying to get in with Alan? All right, let me review. Excuse me, who I have. I have Wendy B., Donna B., Karen K., Veronica B., Michelle W.C., Kerry W., Oscar R., and Alan J. So if everybody other than Wendy B. in Arizona could mute their line, I'll turn it over to you, Wendy. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, it says we don't make this work our sole vacation. And that just reminds me that, you know, as I recovered, you know, my focus shifted from just stopping compulsive eating behaviors to living with a different focus. You know, I'm no longer just obsessing about food all day. You know, I'm not making my weight, the calories I consume, the exercises I do to compensate, you know, my main focus and identity. You know, I'm not turning recovery into another form of control or obsession. And, you know, my life is just no longer about the food. And abstaining, you know, was the beginning. You know, I needed to clear the fog and create a workable food plan and with food and around my food behaviors and stuff, you know, so I could make room for the real emotional recovery work. And I love the emphasis in this paragraph about the first paragraph about devastating, demonstrating the principles in our homes and our workplaces and all of our affairs. And, you know, I learned how to be present in relationships and how to address and resolve conflicts instead of just avoiding them. And, you know, I learned how to, you know, look at my feelings and advocate for myself and set boundaries. And I learned how to make good, healthy choices, you know, and act with integrity. And I like the emphasis on using, you know, our spare time to do program, you know, that I need to focus on my job and my family, you know, that I need to be responsible in all areas of my life, you know, that I need to find balance, you know, in my life. And, you know, and that if my family feels neglected, you know, because I'm giving too much of my time and attention elsewhere, then that needs to be addressed and corrected. And I'm reminded that just being abstinent isn't the goal, you know, that recovery is the goal. And that means I have, you know, freedom from obsession, that I'm neutral around the food, that I have serenity, and I'm useful, and I have purpose, and you know, I'm emotionally mature and balanced, and you know, that's a tall order, you know, for an obsessive addict, you know, like me. But by God's grace and His ability to transform me, you know, I see these ideals living out in my life, you know, and I'm just so grateful for program and the structure it gives me. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next, we have Donna B. in Colorado. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. in Denver, Colorado. I spell my name D-A-N-A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. This question, how then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? I am in the process of reading the chapter, Working with Others, with a sponsee, and it's not uncommon for a sponsee to get to that chapter and think, oh God, there's no way I can be a sponsor. So this question of how should we present that which we've been so freely given us, what I've learned is to share what has been given to me. So when I sponsor other people, I aspire to take them through the journey that my sponsors have taken me through. And that takes some of the pressure off. It's to follow the directions in the Big Book and to share my own experience, strength, and hope. I really appreciate what's been said about the demonstration of our principles in our homes, occupations, and affairs. It's a reminder that we practice these principles in all our affairs. The elimination of food is just the beginning. There's a line in a chapter on step 9, that there's a long road of reconstruction ahead of us. And I see that as such a hopeful and optimistic promise, as opposed to a sentence of dread that there's just, oh, so much work ahead of us. I see it as hopeful and optimistic because it, no matter where I am in my program, there's always so much more to be seen and experienced and learned. And I love this way of life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Denver, Colorado. Next, we have Karen K. in New York. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. My name is Karen K. from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. I never want to forget that. When COVID first hit, was it 2021? I was single, had a lot of time on my hands. Lauren N. was the one who introduced me to Vision. There was not very many Zoom meetings out at that time. And I was blessed to spend all my time working with people. And my personal thing is I don't like the word sponsor, and please don't take offense if anybody said that word, because we're like co-fellows. We're in this together. When two or more are gathered, God is there. And I remember the first Christmas in COVID, I had this one woman from Ecuador, and she did 1 through 8 in one day. And, you know, yeah, it's quick, it's fast, and obviously there's probably going to be a lot of 10 steps for that person. But I was so grateful to have that time, and it made my program so much stronger. And watching other people did what I did, or I forgot I did, that was a really riveting point of being working with other people. Is they one for a silly one, they ate paste. Well, I ate that white paste in the middle of the floor, on the middle of the table when I was in school. Just little silly things like that. I was identifying in, and not so much leading, and we were hand in hand together. And then what changed? I got married, and then I got to see, and I had some fellows I was very close to, and they were very, I was doing a lot of service too. And they said, you know, you're married now, you know, you need to spend some time with your husband. And so little by little, I started backing off on the service work, but I still continue to work with people. So I believe this paragraph is the same, but different for each people. And that's why I read the black and white in the text, and what fits at that time may change in another time, a go around with the book. I had just recently taken somebody through the book in a very fast pace, and she found freedom. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I'm grateful for a vision for you and all the Zoom meetings that are out there, so I can be a teachable person of the big book and of life. And with that, I will pass. And thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Karen Kay in New York. Now we're coming back to the West Coast, to Los Angeles. Good morning, Veronica B.
Hi, good morning. Veronica.
Hi,
I'm Veronica. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And it's really good to be on the line today. I haven't called in for a while. I lost my connection with being in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. I lost my connection with God. I put all my dependence on my sponsor, and that's how I was doing OA, and I wasn't able to stay recovered that way. And, you know, this last line, how then shall we present that what has been so freely given to us? I stopped even making calls. I stopped sponsoring. I got really busy. I got really, really busy in my life. And as a result, you know, what happens when you get so uncomfortable? Well, I turned to the food, and it's been really hard for me because I'm brand new and I'm working the steps again, but it's so hard. It's so hard. You know, I've awakened the monster inside of me, deep down inside of me. And I just need to get back to the basics, you know, just get back in the middle of OA, get back into participating, get back to giving back to what was working for me, and just do the work. I have to do the work, and every day just ask God to help me be honest, ask God to really help me be honest. And so I can give back in many, many ways. I don't have to sponsor right now. I'm not going to sponsor right now. I have the emotions of a one-year-old, I swear. It's just like I'm highly sensitive. And, you know, what's good about that is I know that. I know that about the time right now. And I'm just staying busy working the steps and, you know, getting my connection back with God. and because that's, you know, where the freedom lies for me and getting back in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. So, yeah, with that, I pass. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you, Veronica. Next, we have Michelle W.C., also in California.
Hi, good morning. Yes, it's Michelle W.C. in California. And I really am enjoying this, everyone shares, and these are two packed paragraphs. For me, what, there's two sentences about, we feel the elimination of our drink is but a beginning, and much more important demonstration of our principles lie before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And so I've been in OA for like 14 months or so, 15 months. And, you know, definitely at the beginning, I had that pink cloud of like, wow, I'm off of food. And wow, I have so much more energy. And this is great. I didn't realize I was using food to replace a connection with God. I didn't realize I was really lonely. I was really loving doing all the outreach calls. And I just felt I was on this pink cloud and I was doing, you know, I replaced what food was with program. And I, you know, was going to listen to recordings, going to multiple meetings a day, and, you know, just throwing myself in, which, you know, I think it was helpful in the beginning, but I definitely got the feedback from my family that it was, what is this weird cult that you're in? And you're always on a phone call. You're always, like, we have to wait in line to talk to you. Like, my family wasn't really feeling it. And, you know, I've been in other meetings where people have shared similar feedback from their family. And so I've really taken that to heart and learning to kind of weigh and measure my program, you know, attending my meetings that are committed and, you know, do making those up if I'm not able to attend those, but, you know, not replacing my life with program. And, you know, that's just been an interesting process for me as I've been doing that now. But I'm really trying to make sure that my family, especially my husband, who can really feel that I've recovered, because he's definitely the first person that I take things out on when I'm cranky. I do, you know, a lot of step 10s about things that go on between us. But I'm grateful that I have that process, and I'm really trying to focus on demonstrating that I've changed, becoming a more peaceful, calm, present person, that my family can really feel that first more than anything. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle W.C. in California. Next, we have Carrie W. in California. Good morning, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie W. from California. Thank you, Susan, for your service and everyone else who's helping on the meeting, and welcome to all the newcomers. I like the same two sentences. I like that elimination of our drinking. I have a note here that's only the physical, so that's not the mental. And when I eliminated the drinking and the eating, compulsive overeating, I was left with all the stuff that made me overeat, you know, all the, what does the book describes us, childish, selfish, and grandiose. You know, and all the self-centeredness and all the defects that were causing me to want to numb out with food. And so then there's a long road ahead of going through and looking at things, becoming aware of them, and then giving them to my higher power and doing the opposite, you know, trying to change the behavior. And that slowly by slowly, you know, helped me not want to check out with whatever it is, you know, food. You know, I'm in a couple different programs. So is my husband. We're retired. So I do have a lot of time, and I do spend, you know, a lot of time doing a couple different meetings and working with sponsees. But I love it. You know, it's so much fun. You know, all my friends are in 12-step programs, and it's made a really rich life, and I really enjoy it. But I also have, you know, other family obligations, and I still have to work a little bit here and there. So, you know, it's been a really beautiful way to create a life based on spiritual principles and be the woman that I always wanted to be. And, you know, in our respective homes, you know, I need to have tolerance and love and patience and kindness, you know, with my husband and my daughter and, you know, the everyone around me. So I've learned a lot from going through this book over and over and over. And each time I go through, I peel back another layer and I see something else that's blocking me from being the Carrie that I want to be. And, you know, what a beautiful gift to have the way to, a structured way to go through and improve myself. You know, most people don't get that. And I do try and share it with other people, but I am, you know, if someone needs help, then I will divulge, you know, that I'm in a program. Or if they ask me, you know, what are you doing? You know, then I'll divulge.
That's time, Carrie.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. All right, that was Carrie W. in California. Next we have Oscar R. in Minnesota. Good morning, Oscar. Oscar, star one to unmute and share with us, please. Okay. We will go to Alan J. and try Oscar.
Sorry,
is
I'm
this
here.
Oscar? Okay. Okay, go ahead, please. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I had some trouble unmuting myself. But yeah, I'm Oscar R. from Minnesota. And thank you for everyone's service on this call. I was just struck by a couple things. First was the just how that this is the beginning, you know, that the abstinence and putting the food down is only but the beginning. And I think, if I'm honest, the first time I hear that, I'm say, oh gosh, there's, you know, this is kind of intense because there's, you know, so much effort to put the food down if this is only the beginning. And I quickly remind myself that it's, you know, if I'm thinking that way, that it's probably because I'm still really focused on my own willpower and not leaning into my higher power and the power that I have access to. And so I was just reminding myself of that you know, that so much of this is that I depend so much on my own willpower and trying to not do that and trying to to access my higher power in order to keep going and to jump into it, that it's not just, yes, there's effort on my part, but there's so much more life that is not just putting the food down, but that my higher power has so much more for me. And so that fills me with hope. And then the second thing was that I was struck by was the very end of sharing. It's you know, the book says that it's a requirement of recovery to respond, but that is before that there's, if we're doing it, you know, in power, that there's really in sharing with a fellow, someone who's struggling about this great gift that we've been given and the freedom that we've found. And so that was, I was really encouraged by that as well today. So, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we're going to the UK. Good morning, Alan. Good afternoon, rather.
Thank you. Hopefully my audio is okay.
Yes, it is right now.
Sure it is. Perfect. Thanks, Susan. Thanks, everyone, for the shares and the meetings and the lovely Carer for starting us off. I had a gap in my work schedule, so I thought, what better time than to jump on this? And I don't think I've ever shared on a recorded line. Anyway, I love the shares and the reading, and so much stands out. I think, again, as many people have already touched upon, you know, the elimination of drinking is but a beginning. And for many years in program, I couldn't work out how to apply everything I learn in program to the outside world, because it seems so easy with our own people, because we've got this common language, we've got this common experience. But, you know, outside, you know, it's so easy to press my buttons, to piss me off, and I didn't yet have the skill set to be able to deal with those effectively. I had a few more relapses in me before I was fully able to understand everything that the program offers and that beautiful way of life that we get given. And finally, when I did, you know, why would I not want to? I've got this incredible gift of this whole new life, and the line towards the bottom, you know, many are dropping into oblivion. You know, I've been in the rooms 19 years, and to think of the amount of faces of people that have come and gone and disappeared, and, you know, many people don't find recovery or disappear before, and even the people I've worked with over the years, you know, there's quite a few people that get so far and disappear and I never hear from again. And, you know, as I pray for them and wish them well. But, you know, I think for me today, my charge to my higher power is how can I spread that love and that light to everybody? And, yeah, it's not easy. I'm human. Things still crop up. That's what 10, 11 and 12 is for. But, you know, I may be the only big book that some people can see. So I do my best every day. And that's just become habit now. That is who I am, and part of everything I do of plugging into to program to share with people in, without, you know, it talks about later in the book and the immunity of working with others. I know this talks about outside, you know, families and stuff. But yeah, what a wonderful gift we're given. And, you know, I hope to do my best. And I'm so fortunate to have been given this gift. So it's only fair that I give back as much as I possibly can. And how wonderful it is to do so, you know, thinking, oh, I can't possibly do all this every day, call this and do this, but it's so easy. And I absolutely love to do it because the benefits of doing just a little bit of program far outweigh anything the food could do with me. So I don't know how I'm doing with time, but I'll pass there. Thanks all for the service. Take care.
Thank you, Alan J. in the UK. So let's keep this fabulous meeting going. We read and we're commenting on two paragraphs today, starting with the first paragraph on page 19, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation, that paragraph, and the one after ending with that which has been so freely given us. So if this is your third day to share on a vision meeting, please can I have your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning? Who would like to share?
I would. My name's Larry G.
Larry, I got you. Thank you.
Judy from California.
Good. Thank you, Judy.
Jordan L.
Thank you, Jordan.
Mary Kay. From Illinois.
Thank you. Anyone else? We might have time. I'm not 100% sure. All right, so I have Larry G, Judy I, Jordan L, and Mary Kate G. So if Larry G from California could unmute and share with us. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Susan. Yeah, this is Larry G from California. Yes, Bill's right. Big Book's right. This is not a vocation. But I'll tell you what, I better damn make this the central focus of my life. And maybe I can be a cautionary tale, because I had really rock-solid abstinence working on the Big Book in 93 to 98. And then I decided, you know, I don't need to go 4 or 5 meetings a week and make outreach calls to new people and meet with my sponsor once a week and get together and work out of the Big Book. I can take my foot off the accelerator, and I gained 100 pounds within, it was like a snap of a finger. It just happened so fast. I can't even describe how fast that happened. It was scary that I could put that amount of weight on within 3 to 6 months. So today, I make this the single focus of my life. And why not? The results I get are amazing. I did a timeline. My sponsor had me do a timeline, how much time I spent on the disease. And I got to tell you, it was shocking, the amount of hours each week that I spent on the disease, or the disease spent on me. And when I come to a vision for you, I didn't balk. You know, this is not the softer, easier way. A vision for you is not a softer, easier way. We do demand a lot from each other. There's a lot of things that we do in this program, this fellowship, that you can go anywhere else. If you don't like it, you know, this is too much for you. There's fellowships out there that do not require the kind of work we do, but this disease is formidable. It's insidious. It's baffling. It's powerful. And it will destroy me. And if I'm not doing something each day for my recovery, if I'm not putting recovery first, and what I like to say to my people I sponsor is that I have to schedule my life around recovery today, because that 4 years of absence was so sweet and I lost it within a blink of the eye. I was starting to schedule recovery around my life. And that just does not work for me. Maybe it works for you. It doesn't work for me. Because pretty soon on the way to the meeting, I'm a secretary, I'm stopping and buying one of these 2-pound burritos. It's okay, Larry, you need a little protein. Before I know it, I'm gone from 215 to 315. And that I pass it back to you, Susan.
Thank you so much, Larry. Okay, next we have Judy I. in California. Judy, go ahead, please.
Good morning, my name is Judy. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And let's see, this reading, even though I'm just starting step two, but I am, the work I do is in the service world, and I'm already seeing how much more available and present I am for the people I work with, and I feel like a sense of I want to be there for people in a different way than I have ever felt. Like, I just want to help people and really just be a service, which frankly isn't anything I've seriously thought about in my work. And I just feel like the work I've been doing now for 31 days is making me so much more, what can I say, present and appreciative, really appreciative of all the help and support that I'm getting from my fellows. And it's amazing to me how giving people are in this program, especially my sponsor. She's given me so much time and availability, and as a rock-hard compulsive overeater in her disease, it's been so helpful to help me recover. And I am looking forward to being able to give that back. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judy. Next, we have Jordan L. in Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of OA. how then shall we present this? I think what my experience has shown over the years is the key to that is freely. What I've discovered in 12-step programs, and this is by doing it the opposite way. This is by doing like sponsoring and being of service and all of that. Doing that, expecting something like with expectations. That's how it is that I've discovered that this is the way that this works, the way that it like happens, the way that a spiritual experience occurs and God is brought into my relationships and my life is it's freely. So that means that I give freely of my time, and that means as a sponsee and the people that I'm sponsoring, they receive it freely too, you know, freely given, freely received. That's how all of this works. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about like with a spirit of generosity and without expectation. That has always been really important for my own program. And I'll say this too, I think sometimes like we get a little bit caught up in how much time should I be spending in program and how much time should I be spending in my other affairs, my occupations and homes and all of that. It varies, you know, like it changes and it fluctuates and it gets out of balance, and then we bring God into it and we ask God to help us get it back in balance again. But the whole thing is like, The real answer to that is both. Like, I should be spending however much time, have or is necessary at that point in time. And that'll change from person to person, and it'll even change from situation to situation with the same person, you know? But the point is that God works, like God has the opportunity to work in my life when I am participating with a generous spirit in
that
both
time.
Service and my other occupations and affairs. Thanks for letting me share. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Perfect timing. We have time for one more share, and that will be Mary Kate G. in Illinois. Good morning, Mary Kate.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, and thanks, everybody, for being on the call. I'm so grateful that I can jump on this call. You know, as we read this morning, I was left thinking about a friend of mine who's since passed away, who had many years in another 12 step. And I wasn't back in program then, and I used to sort of envy Bill because he was always like, he just seemed to just freely give his time. I mean, we could be at his 85th birthday party and he could get a call, and we joked that the cell phone was the best invention for him. And he would just get up and walk to the door, and you knew that he was helping someone in program. And I remember thinking, God, I wish I had his presence. And when I came back into program, I realized that's where he got it from doing this work and giving to others. And the part in here at this second paragraph, which says, you know, many of us in large cities are overcome by the reflection of those who are dropping into oblivion every day. And when I work with people, or we, you know, as I am living with people and watching somebody eat obsessively and complain about their weight, I am so grateful that that noise has gone out of my head, and that it just pains me. And I think to myself, I sort of have a responsibility to work a good program so that they can see what I'm doing, and maybe they'll ask me, what are you doing? And they'll have some freedom themselves, because I don't know how I said yes to the program. I don't know why I said yes, but I'm just grateful that I did. I know it's grace from God, but I think about that, and I think as I go through life, I'm glad I'm not in that lane anymore. I'm glad in this lane. And it's work. There's no doubt that this program is work, but I'd rather be spending my time doing this work than waking up every morning with regret and remorse. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. All right, what a smashing meeting. Thank you today to our service team, Cara, Vanessa, Shelley E., Stay On With Jody E. and Leslie M., available sponsors, and if you need one. And thank you to Michelle W.C. and Joanne L. for reading this morning. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you everyone who was on the meeting and who made it possible. It's a wonderful meeting. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And this is our closing, a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.